From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Stay where you are. Live from WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Wow, isn't that good?
And that was Dr. John Palmer.
Didn't I give that with Mike? I gave it all.
You
gave it everything.
Great.
Gusto.
That was that, whatever you take, that vitamin you take for energy.
and what's your name?
My name is Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and that was Dr. John Palmer, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
And even more important, Jesus loves us.
Oh, yes, and absolutely.
And I often wonder, how could he? You know, after all the things we do in our lives, don't you wonder?
Yeah.
And listen what we're doing again. We're talking over Al's music. Oh, poor Al.
And we love him, too.
Yeah, that's Al Barbarino singing our theme song. And he remember we met him when we did Dana? And I said, Al, you know, I won't talk over your music ever again. And they asked him, how long did he know me? And he said, too long.
Too long. He had to hide under the table.
Listeners, we have a show today that really, I think, can appeal to anybody. Because we're talking about how do you come into contact with the fact that Jesus is alive within us? And why would anyone want to have that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus? And we have a young lady with us today, and Laura Lawson. And Laura will be sharing her conversion experience, because it's just so important for every listener to realize, I don't care if you're a saint in the making, you have to have that conversion experience to where God comes alive in you. And that's what our show is about. How does God come alive? How does he all of a sudden make sense out of your life? Lori, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And it's an honor and a pleasure to have you, Lori. We've been trying to have you on the show for a long time.
I know, thank you.
You know what I like most? I have something nice to look at instead of Tony.
He's so loving, isn't he?
You know, Lori, I'd like to get right to it.
Sure.
What happened to you, and how did you go through the conversion process?
Okay. Well, my story is a little bit different. I was going through a rough time in my life, and I was married, and I was going through a separation, a divorce, basically. And but before that whole thing happened, you know, there was a light at the end of this, but I was going through a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, and there was a point in my life where I really couldn't work, I didn't eat. Couldn't sleep, and it was just, you know, a really difficult time for me. So my aunt, who I'm very close to, who happens to be, you know, a Catholic, and she's very strong in her faith, and she goes, you know, Laura, like, you should see someone. I said, oh, what, like a shrink, you know, I don't know.
Be careful.
Well, so
be careful. I'm a shrink. You better watch it.
I didn't.
Do you realize how many people come into my office 6 feet tall and go out 3.2 feet tall?
You're in good company, Lori.
Go ahead, Lori. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to lie.
You just attacked me personally, and I'm wounded,
so
but that's all right.
I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But, you know, she said, you know, I think you should actually see a priest. And I was like, oh, what is a priest going to do? You know, but at that point, I really didn't have any other options because I was like a walking zombie, you know. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So she brought me over to St. Catherine's. I mean, I was missing days of work, and I was not eating. I dropped a lot of weight. You know, stress does a killer to you. You know,
divorce does that.
It really is.
It's terrible.
Know? And I don't wish that on anyone. So anyway, I had went to the parish, and, you know, there's this house where all, like, the priests live. And the person that happened to answer the door was Father Johnny.
Who else?
And Father Johnny is, I've never met a more faithful man in my life, honestly. So he was, and the reason why it was so weird is because Father Johnny runs the RCIA program.
So and the listeners may not know that that's the conversion program.
Correct.
What do they call it? Revival Catholic Information, whatever it is, RCIA.
Information, group. Yeah. Revival Catholic Information.
Assistance, whatever.
Assistance.
So anyway, you know, he actually, you know, counseled me through everything. And as he was counseling me, I found that I had questions about the Catholic faith. And, you know, like simple questions like, why do you ring the bells at like Mass? Why do you do the sign of the cross? What's the holy water all about? You know, I was raised in the Lutheran faith, so I had no idea what this was about. So he said, you know, Laura, he goes, I head up a group called the RCIA. You should come. So I was like, okay, you know. But I was like, what is
so
this
enthusiastic.
All about?
So
yeah, I was so enthusiastic, you know. So anyway, what happened was that I did not go because apparently I wasn't ready. So a year goes by, and, you know, I'm going through the proceeds of the divorce and everything, and it was getting better, you know. And then I found myself that I had more questions about the faith because I would go to the Catholic Mass to see my aunt sing because she's part of the choir. And anyway, I had asked him more and more questions, and he goes, Laura, why don't you come to the RCIA group like this year? And he goes, you don't have to be committed, just go a couple of times and then see what you think. And I said, okay, as long as I'm not committed to this, because I have a big problem with that, you know, I said, then I'll go, you know, like a couple of times. So he's like, okay. So what happened was I went and I kept going every week, and I learned more. And I found myself to be very actually inspired by it. And our group was very large that year. It was 21 people.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a very large group. And I liked the people in like the group. And then I found myself asking a lot of questions, learning. I mean, I learned so much going through that process. And I learned a lot about me, you know, and what I can actually go through, what I can handle.
And that's part of that's the core of the RCA. You learn about yourself.
Exactly. Which I think, you know, I mean, everyone should learn exactly who you are and
relation to God.
Yes, and your relationship and your religion and what it means to you. So, you know, as I was going through the actual process, people would tease me and say, oh, well, you're going through the RCIA process because who was the guy? Who was the man, you know? And I was not changing Catholic to marry anyone. No, I did it for actually me. And
thank God.
I did it for all the right reasons.
Good.
Exactly.
Well, that was good.
Yeah. And then as I was going through it, I became close with my classmates. I became close with Father Johnny. And, you know, that actually made me feel a lot lighter in things. I went through things a lot more calmly. I just found that I could handle things a lot better.
You know what you were doing? You were using God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as a way to take care of that pain in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, divorce is very painful, but at like the end of it, me and my ex are good friends, you know.
Okay. It means you've forgiven each other.
Exactly, exactly. And,
He's starting his therapy. Watch him.
I know, I can tell.
He'll be sending you a bill shortly.
Do you have insurance? Go ahead, Lori, I'm sorry.
So anyway, throughout the whole process, though, I found myself getting very excited about it. And, you know, like the teachers were just so amazing. And, you know, at like every session that we had met, you know, we had met every Wednesday night. And then
for almost a year, right?
Yeah. You know, it started in September, but I came late. I started in October. Because I wasn't sure if this was for, you know, mm-hmm. me, which is why I had went. I wanted to make sure I was doing this for all the right reasons, mm-hmm. you know. And I found myself getting very very excited. I was actually participating, asking questions, and you know, it just filled me up with so much excitement and wonder, and I was learning so much, and I love that.
That's wonderful.
You were being hit by the Holy Spirit.
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. The process was starting.
Yeah, and, you know, and then as I was getting more involved, you know, people would have parties or events on, like, a Wednesday night, and I said, nope, I can't go, you know. So I made this a I made this a priority in my life to actually, you know, do. And then at the end of it, I mean, it totally turned my life around, basically. It did. I find that I'm a lot closer to God. I find that He does talk to me in some ways, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Yeah. You know, because I always think to myself, you know, like an idea pops into my head. And I said, why didn't I think of that before?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a simple answer. And, you know, that's His way of talking to me, mm-hmm. you know. So I just find that it was one of the best things that I've ever done.
Now, you already had baptism from the Lutheran Church.
I did, correct.
So you didn't need to be rebaptized?
No, I did not.
But then you received the sacrament of reconciliation?
I did.
And Eucharist mm-hmm. and confirmation all on Easter Eve?
Yep.
Yes.
What was that
at
like?
Easter Vigil. Oh.
I was there, by the way.
Okay.
I witnessed it, and I was impressed.
What was that like to get three sacraments? Wow.
It was amazing. You know, first of all, it was a very long, long mass. Very long. It was 3 hours, and our class was so huge. So I was one of the last people to be entered, you know, into the church. I was received into the church, and, you know, you have to get up in front of this huge congregation of people, but I wasn't really nervous. Mm-hmm. I was excited about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I had to get up onto the microphone and, you know, state that I wanted to be a part of the Catholic faith, and it was emotional, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, you know. I wasn't crying. I was very sure of myself. I was I just felt peace. Yeah, I guess
that's the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I feel peace.
Peace.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
with
God.
The gift.
And then at the end, we were actually offered whoever wanted to make a speech. So there were four people, and I was one of the ones that made a speech.
And I cried.
You did?
Yes.
Aw.
Tell them what you said.
I basically told them, well, I had let my congregation, because now they were a part of my family, I let them in on like a little secret. And when I basically, you know, stated that, everyone's ears kind of like perked up. And I had told them, I said, I did not mention that I had went through a divorce, but I said I was at a very dark time. And it was a struggle for me. And like I told you before, I wasn't eating. I wasn't working. You know, I missed days of work. I shut off all my friends. And Father Johnny, who happened to open the door on that very day, you know, God works in mysterious ways, as the yes. cliche always mm-hmm. says. And it was meant to be. And I was excited throughout the whole process. And I thanked all the priests, because they all took part in this. I thanked the teachers and my classmates. And I think, you know, I was only up there for maybe like a minute or two minutes. But what had happened was everyone had a piece of paper, you know, just of key points of what they were going to say. So we had to sit in the front row, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, put the piece of paper underneath my seat, and she knew where I was going to sit. She didn't. She took it under her seat. So I see people going up for Mass, and I'm like, okay, I have to get up soon, you know, and I reach for it, and it's not there, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I was so nervous. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wing it. You know, and I knew what I was going to say anyway. But I said a little prayer. And I said, just give me the guidance. Give me the courage to get up in front of all these people. And let me say what you want me to say.
That's it.
So my uncle was there. My aunt, who I absolutely love. She's like a second mom to me. My mom and my cousin and coworkers actually came. And my uncle saw me, and he said, oh, boy, everyone that went up has a piece of paper. had notes. Laura has nothing. This could go either way. It could go really good or really bad. Thankfully, I think it went, you know, well. People came up to me afterwards. They said that they were touched, and, you know, that meant a lot to me. And my uncle was so proud, and he gave me this huge hug, and he goes, "You knew what you were going to say. You knew what you were doing the whole time." And my aunt was crying. She was so happy. The only resistance I did have was from my mom, because she is, you know, she is a Lutheran, and she goes, "What's wrong with the Lutheran faith?" And I said, "There's nothing wrong with it. I said, I just feel that this is right. When you know something's right, you really feel it. I can't really, you know, describe it. It's just that you just know it's for you."
I know the only reason why I'm Catholic, really, is because of the true presence in the Eucharist, that God's really there.
Exactly, which is very powerful.
Yes.
Very powerful. So I told her, and she goes, "You know what?" She goes, "If this is going to make you happy, then I'm for it." You know, but she just didn't like the idea that I was baptized Lutheran and here I was changing. And, you know, I didn't do it for anyone. I did it for me because I really felt that it was right. And the more I learned, the more intrigued I became, and the more I wanted to be a part of it.
And it's interesting, too. The Catholic Church recognizes that baptism.
I was going to bring that up.
Yes, surrender
to God. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Is that the only... That's not the only religion that recognizes, right?
Anyone who is in a recognized church, I guess, you know, and they're baptized, they have to be rebaptized. But actually, the sacrament of confirmation brings it all together.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yep.
It was just an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, still to this day, I'm still learning a lot.
What's happened since? How long ago did you go through this?
It's been about like a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're still on fire.
I'm still on fire. This first Easter that had came up, I was so excited. I was like, I'm a real Catholic, you know. So I was so excited about it. And my mom was like, "Why are you excited?" She just didn't understand. And I said, "Because, you know." And then to actually, you know, celebrate my like first, you know, my first Christmas as a Catholic too. It's very exciting. And people don't understand unless you go through it.
You have to experience it.
You really do. And you have to be open to it so that, you know, it can help you. You know, if you're open to it, it might take, it might not, but you have to give it a shot. And then I find that if you are open to it, you learn a lot.
You know, I think before the show you asked me, did I have a conversion experience? And I said, every person has to have that. I was a rules and regulations Catholic, and God was outside, and I followed the rules, and I was going to get home, and that was it. And at the end of life, he would just say, "Okay, you passed all the tests, you followed the rules." Mm-hmm. But what happened? I went on a marriage encounter, and I found out that, hey, God's inside of me, and he's love. And from that point on, all of a sudden, Scripture meant something. The words in the Mass meant something. Everything changed. Is that what happened to you?
Absolutely. When I go to Mass, what I was taught was to actually go through the words, like, "Our Father, who art in heaven," you know, to actually, with every sentence, it's not just saying the prayer, it's not just going through the actual motions, but to actually know every line and to know what it means. You know, and then like the readings, every time before Mass, I get there a little bit early. Just all you need is like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, and I read of what that lesson's going to be on that day. And I actually read, you know, like the first reading, you know, like the second reading, so that I kind of grasp it a lot more. But that's only because I want to understand it more.
Mm-hmm.
So still to this day, I still want to get as much as I can. Because I find that without this in my life, I don't know.
Now you asked Father Johnny about ringing bells.
Yes.
Okay.
Of like the Mass. Yeah, I'm like, why do you do that?
I love that part.
Is it all show? I mean, why is it so showy?
Yeah, that's why I love it.
And for listeners, they ring bells at the consecration of the Mass.
Yeah.
When the bread and wine are changed substantively into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. That's what we believe. You know, years ago, I never, ever gave that a thought. In fact, when we had the relics of St. Margaret Mary here, we had miracles of the Eucharist posters all over the place. And I had a number of Catholics come up to me and say, "You mean he's really alive and that it's not just a remembrance service?" I said, "No, he's alive there. And you know it. And you know it. Don't you, Auntie Racine?"
Absolutely. You know, right now there's a youth group. And one of the chaperones, I'm not a parent, but I am one of the chaperones, and you know, like, the kids are great. There's, you know, there's like maybe like 55 of them now.
Wow. And,
yeah.
That's a big group.
Yeah. It is a really big
started
group.
From nothing.
There was this group of kids that had went on World Youth Day,
mm-hmm.
and they actually started this group, and it grew.
Grow.
Yeah, so now it's ages, I think, from 12 to 21. And every Tuesday night we actually meet. And what it is that at the end, you know, first is like the social hour. Then we have a meeting, and we have guest speakers actually come in and talk to our youth group.
Good.
Which is very important. But I find that I'm very inspired by these kids because they were raised Catholic. And, you know, to see young people so into the faith, it's so inspiring that I get inspiration from them.
It's going on all over the place, too, all over the island. When those young people go to World Youth Day, their lives are changed and they come back like you, on fire.
Yeah.
In fact, as long as we're mentioning that, we are looking for scholarship money for those who don't have the money to go to Rio de Janeiro in 2013. And if anyone's interested, contact me, John Palmer, J. Palmer, at drvc.org. I'll only pick your pocket for $300 a month.
But don't make the check payable to John Palmer.
No, you make it to the world. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
they are on fire.
Yeah, yes. They are. And then every Tuesday night, what like we actually do, we actually have, you know, the Eucharist there, you know, and we go through the actual, you know, the rosary, and to know that Jesus is right there, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And sometimes the kids get a little rowdy. They're like talking. They're like moving around or something. But when it's explained to them, they actually get it. And mm-hmm. they say the rosary. I don't. Mm-hmm. They volunteer to actually do everything.
You know, and I also, I'm there on Tuesday nights because I do Palmer's intercession thing. It's another prayer group. And I see 8-year-olds coming over to me because we have hospitality too, and they come over to me for the brownies and stuff like that. So there are actually 8-year-olds, probably
mm-hmm.
9-year-olds, that are going to the prayer group, and they're starting very, very young.
Yeah, you know, and in fact, we're actually thinking about starting another segment of like the group for 7th and 8th graders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for like the younger kids to actually come in. It would be like the same night, but it's in the works. Hopefully.
You see what God's done, though, out of your pain? He brought you
amazing.
Full circle back to where you're bringing young people and deeper into the religion. Go ahead.
The amazing thing about Lori, the thing that impressed me so, was that...
We don't want her to get a big head.
She knows it. She just didn't become a Catholic. She just didn't become a practicing Catholic. She got into the ball game, and she's involved
mm-hmm.
in everything going on in the Catholic religion.
Mm-hmm.
She's involved with the youth group. She's involved with, she's on the core. She's on the Father Johnny's core team, and she's involved in the church, and she's involved with making sure that our Catholic religion is up there and stays there.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You're a credit.
Thank
you're
you.
A credit to the RCIA. By the way, Palmer, the RCIA means the Rite of Christian
Anointing.
What's that word?
Initiation.
For adults.
Okay.
Just so you know.
In fact, I'm sorry. Are we
that's
going?
All right. Go ahead.
You talk.
No. I know that the RCIA group is actually starting pretty soon. And I was so inspired on it that I asked Father Johnny, I didn't tell you this, if I could actually help out the teachers.
See?
Oh, my.
Because if I could inspire one person just as much as I was, then I...
That's our motto. We want one conversion a week. That's our motto, Palmer.
I know.
If
Listen,
I could just get one person just as excited as like I was...
I want to play a song. You know, Tony knows I get hung up in music.
Oh, my Lord.
But
yes,
this song is so perfect because it talks what happened in your life. And it's called Come Little Child. Listen to it.
Don't start crying.
Listen, this is what happens in conversion.
Come, little child, come to me. Play with me. Laugh with me. For, little child, I can see all that you can be. No more hiding in the shadows. Time to step out in the sun. You will find that your tomorrow's full of things that can be done. So come, little child, come to me. Play with me. Laugh with me. For, little child, I can see all that you can be.
That not you, Lori?
Oh, she has a beautiful voice.
It's that Dana.
Yeah. Beautiful voice.
I must say something.
Go ahead.
While the song was going on, I played your game, Bible Roulette.
Uh-oh.
And I got a message for you.
Oh, really?
And it's Matthew 18:4. Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he was talking about you.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's
well,
nice.
we're kind of sloppy, soft soap. But
I'm a crying Marine. You know that.
But I'm a laughing Catholic, yeah. So we even each other out. You know, what are you gonna do? But you know, I love the words in that song because you are, and you've invited Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and God the Father into your life. You will never ever be alone. And they're like playmates. They're there with you. And people don't believe it. They're so lighthearted. Isn't God fun? Isn't he fun? You know, he really is.
And he's a friend.
Yes.
He's your best friend. Jesus will talk to you. All you have to do is talk to him.
You know, just something like really quickly, you know.
And I know you have to leave, so yeah, go ahead. You've got time.
I go out with my friends, and, you know, I go to bars. I'm a young person. I go out, and I have a good time.
Don't worry about it. Right? I pass red lights.
So, but what it is that not all the time, but sometimes, you know, my friends talk, you know, oh, like, are you going to church tomorrow? And I said, yes, you know, no matter what time I get home, honestly, you know, I always go, whether it be like the 1 o'clock mass, if it's too early. But no, honestly, sometimes they actually ask about it. And I find that I talk about faith in a bar. It's very odd. I know, it's so odd, but you know, it just comes up.
Jesus put you there.
And
to spread the word.
Exactly.
That's why he put you in the bar.
I think, you know, every Catholic, whether they like practice, you know, if they actually, you know, practice, it's about discipleship. And, you know, we are all one of those. We are all, you know, doing that in our own way. But sometimes my friends are like, why did you do this again? And they want to know about the process. And even strangers, even like new friends that I actually meet, one of my friends like mentions it. And I'm like, why did you say that? And then they ask me questions about it, you know? And here I am out having a good time and I'm talking about it. And it's just, it amazes me because it has happened more than 3 times.
Sure.
And you're evangelizing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
You are?
Yeah.
And you're doing God's work.
And you know, when I talk about it, I get very happy, and they're like, "Wow, this really means something to you."
You're right. Said, yes. The smile on your face is phenomenal, right, Bonner?
Yeah, that's advertising, and that's the best advertisement for the relationship with God. And you now have that personal, intimate relationship for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what comes, you know where to turn. And good and the not so good in life.
Right. But, you know, it's so easy not to listen, to tune out.
That's right.
Because we're so busy in our lives and struggles, and we come up with so many issues. And, you know, that's why I like to go to church every weekend. It's a reminder. And on Tuesdays, it's a weekly reminder to open your heart, to listen, because, you know, a lot of people don't know how to listen.
And you know what gets me about Mass? I just was thinking about it the other day. No matter where you go, it's the same readings, a little different approach in the sermon depending upon the priest. It's the same miracle that takes place, and that transubstantiation takes place, mm-hmm. the bread and wine,
the ringing of the bells. Blood,
the ringing of the bells,
I love that part.
Saying the Our Father.
Yes.
And preparing yourself to receive divinity into your humanity.
It's universal.
It's everywhere.
Universal, yes.
Everywhere. And it's amazing.
Yes. You know, I just wanted to add, sometimes I altar serve. Sometimes I become a cute little altar servant, and the altar servers show up. And my favorite part of the altar servant is ringing those bells. Because I ring those bells with fervor. I ring it and ring it, and I let it ring out. Saturday night, a gentleman came over to me and says, "You must be the oldest altar server I've ever saw. But you ring those bells."
Well, that's wonderful. Now, Lori, I know you have to leave because you have to be back at St. Catherine for a meeting.
Yes, I do.
And we just want to thank you so much for being
here.
You were a total delight.
It was a joy.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, when I go to Mass every week, I just want to, like put it out there, you really do learn something every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the same old, you know, prayer. You know, get something out of it. Listen to the words. Read the words. I mean, I'm still doing that. I'm still learning. I do not know everything, nor do I, you know, I don't think I ever will. But I'm just saying, you know, for everyone out there to actually read the words that you're saying. You're not just repeating a prayer over and over again. Take something out of every reading, out of every Mass, and learn as much as you can, because I think that brings you closer.
And you should know Lori's also studying to be a lector.
Yes, I'm very excited about
good.
It.
She's going to be doing the readings. That's that's wonderful.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Lori, you're a wonderful addition to the Catholic faith.
Oh, thank you.
And you're a wonderful ambassador. You really are. And,
thank you.
And
I thank you for being here.
I had a great time.
Yeah, okay. And be careful driving, but can I ask you one favor?
Sure.
On your way home, turn to station 1240, listen to the show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I promise that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We're going to move on then. And Tony, I know you have a saint of the day.
Yes, I do.
And this is not really a saint.
No, it's blessed.
Blessed.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's an honor of conversion. And it's Blessed Cardinal John Henry Newman, who is the patron of conversions. But by the time he becomes a saint, he's going to be more than that. He's going to be the patron not only of conversions, he's going to be the patron of professors, of scholarships. Listen to his story. I'm highlighting Blessed Cardinal John Newman as a person of conversion in the search for the truth and the light of Christ, to emphasize that if any of our listeners have an inkling to convert, to come back, please do. Please do as Cardinal John Henry Newman did. In September of 2011, the Pope beatified John Henry Newman. That is, declared him blessed, the final step before becoming a Catholic saint. Undoubtedly, Newman will eventually meet the cut and join the ranks of St. Joan of Arc, St. Peter, and St. Patrick. Born in Britain in 1801 as an angelic churchman and scholar, he ended his life as a Roman Catholic cardinal. Newman was a contemporary of Joseph Smith. You know Joseph Smith, the father of the Mormon religion.
Oh, wasn't he the pitcher for the Mets?
Yes, he was, in another life.
Okay.
Who converted many people to that religion. After Joseph had crossed over and founded the Mormon religion, Newman left his Protestant religion. But instead of crossing over to the Mormon religion, he crossed over to the Catholic religion. Newman wrote the words, "Lead kindly light," about the time Joseph was giving us the Book of Mormons. In 1839, Newman began to lose confidence in his angelic religion and raised doubts about the validity of his worshiping. He became convinced that Rome, not Canterbury, was the home of the true church. He then retracted the anti-Catholic statements that he had published, specifically stating that the Pope was anti-Christ. He now publicly supported the Roman Catholic doctrine. He began his new life as a Roman Catholic. He was received into the church and ordained as a priest the next year. This crossover, this conversion, he was a scholar and a brilliant thinker. His conversion rattled Christianity. When Newman is finally declared a saint, he will probably also become the patron saint of scholars, poets, teachers. I'm not sure, maybe psychiatrists and psychologists. But in many people's minds, he will always be the patron saint of conversion. Leaving one faith to join another calls for special coverage. You must not only change the way you see the world, but many times you are forced to forge new thoughts, new friendships, and abandon former colleagues and even their families. The Catholic religion is based on courage, from St. Paul on the road to Damascus, St. Francis leaving a world of riches to embrace the life of poverty. But conversion is more than a grand shift in our lives. If, as Newman said, growth is the only evidence of life, then we grow by making small conversions to a new way of thinking and seeing. Conversion to the Catholic faith many times means emptying yourself of your old ways and thinking and allowing the light of Christ to lead you to his Father, as Laurie did. He wrote, "Racists can convert to acceptance. Angry people can convert to kindness. Usually our fears of change conversions turning to the truth turn out to nothing more than dark fantasies. So don't let the dark fantasies stop you from converting to the true religion. In our own willingness to stretch, we find ourselves blossoming inside, as Laurie did. This is what happened to John Henry Newman. And if we are truly alive, it must have happened to all that changed their attitude and simply asked not to be prosecuted and rejected, as it seems to be happening to us today."
Mm-hmm.
In 1870, Newman received special recognition for his work as both an angelic and a Roman Catholic. He became the first person elected to an honorary fellowship of Trinity College. And 2 years later, Pope Leo XIII awarded him a place in the College of Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
He died on August 11, 1890, and his epitaph on his tombstone says, "Out of shadows and pictures of fear come truth. And that's what Cardinal, Blessed Cardinal John Newman was all about.
And see how what happened to him, Lori. I know you haven't left yet, but you see what happened to him.
And the relationship.
He changed and just changed his whole life.
And I see the relationship, Lori. I do. I see the relationship between Blessed Cardinal Newman and you. And who knows, someday you'll be a saint. What else is there, Lori? What else is there?
You know, conversion is a change of heart. And as we move towards the prayerful part of the show when we pray for healing and conversion, let's listen to Jim Cowan for a minute. And listeners, get ready. We have something special to bring your way. We're going to ask you to convert. Even though you're sitting at home in your house, and even though you may be a saint, we're going to ask you to open your heart. Open your heart and let Jesus in. You can have Lori's experience right now this morning.
Come into my life, Lord. Bless the Lord and just take away all those areas of our life that we're not proud of, that we know still aren't submitted to the Lord. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord.
And while you're listening, think over those sins that you have that you can't forgive yourself for. And ask Jesus to come in. Take those sins. Forgive them. He already has. Help. Ask for help to forgive yourself. Listeners, this is really a holy setup. We're setting you up for a conversion experience. Say those words in your heart. Jesus, I give you my life.
Why don't we just stand in the presence of the Lord as we sing, Take All That I Am, Lord. Just open up our hearts and our hands to the Lord.
This is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Take all that I am. Give him everything. Mentally. In your heart. Let it all go. Imagine a white flag. I surrender, Lord. I surrender all that I am.
I will follow you, Lord.
Make that commitment. I will follow you, Lord.
Wherever you need me, Lord, I will
ask the Lord to send His Spirit now upon us.
Holy Spirit, come into every listener. Every listener, Lord, touch them.
Holy Spirit, come.
ready-made pigeons, Lord. We're ready to invite them to say yes. They've renounced their sins. They've renounced the evil. They've surrendered. They've given you their hearts, their souls, their minds. Let it go on to the next song. This morning in prayer, I got these words, and I think it fits this show. Dear friend, I know you inside out. I know when you sit and when you stand. I know every sin you commit. I have forgiven all past sins because you ask for my mercy. I even forgive the sins you consider unforgivable. I then help you to learn to forgive yourself. I even lead those who by your sins have been hurt to forgive you. That's how much I love you. I know you're not perfect. I don't demand that you be perfect. I only ask that you open your heart to the true presence of the divine person of the most Holy Spirit in you. He is the mutual love of my Father and myself. I, Jesus the Messiah, humbly ask that you allow our spirit of truth into your being. He's your advocate, your best friend, your counselor, your consoler. He is our mutual love personified. He is our forever gifting you who will set you on your path to salvation. And if you continue in relationship with him, will lead you home to our new life in love eternal in our new Jerusalem. I know you're not a theologian or a scriptural scholar. I know you are a sinner. I have come for persons such as you. I come to forgive. This is true. However, I also come to develop an intimate, personal, interior, experiential relationship with you, the likes of which defies understanding by your limited human intellect. Won't you let me in? I wish to be an integral part of your daily life and your walk in time. I come to give you hope, joy and peace in your heart. If you let me in, I will change your life. I will, through the power of my love, change the way you view your life in the world of man. I come with a whole new view of your life. I do not care. I do not care if you don't know where or what your next meal will be. I do not care if you are the world's worst sinner or the world's greatest saint. I will instruct you internally and intimately in what you need to know to make it across your finish line in time into my forever in love beyond time. Will you accept my invitation to my presence in you? I don't care what you believe about me. I guarantee that you only have a tiny piece of me, and that incomplete piece does not generate the true peace I wish to instill in you. So open up, buddy. Let our true love do its thing in you. Don't worry about being misled by evil. I will strike evil dead in you if you are truly, genuinely seeking a relationship with me. Who am I? God the Father, Jesus the Messiah, the Holy Spirit. I am truth and love, eternal, knocking on your heart's door. Will you let me in for just a second? That's all it takes. I'll take over from there. Let me in. You let us in. You warily open the door of your heart from within. You know what you do. You put all excuses aside. You say internally, okay, Lord, come on in. Do your thing. It's got to be better than my thing. Help me get out of your way and stay out of your way just for these few moments that we share, one on one. Dear friend, hang on to your socks. The first thing we do is kick the hell out of your humanly created defense mechanisms. We blast them to hell where they belong. What's left standing is the poor, scared child, afraid of being punished by us. Oh, dear friend, be not afraid. We love you. We pick you up out of the debris of what was in you, in your house built on the sand of humanity's sin of pride. We pour our new foundation of life and timeless love into the core of your being. Our most Holy Spirit lays the foundation of truth. We fortify the walls of your new home forever with our grace-filled love. We open the windows of your heart so that your being is warmed by our love, and it pumps the blood of the resurrected Jesus throughout your being. Our infused wisdom changes your mind from temporary human thinking to our mind for you. We do this one moment at a time within your walk in time. Now we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, enable you to stand tall in our love. These changes in you can take place in a moment of time or in a lifetime in time, and or anywhere in between in your walk in time. It makes no difference to us. We're so happy that it's happening in some way in you right now, in this moment in time. We convert you to our new life right at this moment in time. We now have an eternity to work out the details of your conversion. Love us. And listeners, we pray that somehow or other, some of these words touched you, and that you opened your heart, and that you let Jesus in. That's where it's at. That's what Lori did. That's what Tony did. That's what I did. That's what Peter did, who's sitting here with us. That's what Trevor did in his life. And I hope that's what you've done at home. There's no other way to go. There's just no other way to live. What do you think, Tony?
I think we should use Lori as our example.
Absolutely.
For conversion. I think she's a saint in the making.
She is. And I think you got to really realize, too, listeners, when you say, yes, come into my heart, you are changed. Even at that moment, you may go back and do things your usual way. You may fall back into the sins you've been doing in the past. It doesn't make any difference. He'll start talking to you, just like he talks to me and Tony and Lori and Peter and other people. You know, he'll talk to you and he'll say, hey, you're mine. I don't like some of the things you're doing, but I'll clear it up. You're mine. And there's just no two ways about it. You're mine.
Come on over.
That's right. And we should pray for the people here.
Absolutely.
Who have sent in petitions.
Yes.
And I know I went on long with that reading, but I just couldn't resist it.
It was beautiful.
Couldn't resist.
I want to mention, John, that if anyone has any petitions to send, they could send them to listenup1240@aol.com. And we will turn the petitions on the radio show, and we will pray for them every day.
And I also want to mention that on August 25th, at the Montfort Spirituality Center, we're going to have a day of healing and prayer to the Divine Mercy for healing, run by Paul Miller, who is a Franciscan brother, a lay brother, and he runs the Divine Mercy Center in Newark. We only have 10 spots left.
Whoa, did you save a spot for me?
No, I didn't save anything for you.
I didn't think so.
But we only have 10 spots, but it's going to be quite a powerful day. And then in September, on the second Tuesdays of each month, I'm starting seminar series on belonging to Jesus more deeply at St. Mary's in Manhasset. And that's in the evening at 7:30. And on September 8th, I'm going to be in the program Libation of Love at Living Waters, and I'll be the kickoff speaker in a seminar series they're going to run.
Whoa.
And that's in Suffolk County at St. Elizabeth's in Melville.
Whoa, you're some busy guy.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to record our shows on Fridays. I got news for you.
Is this a paid commercial, by the way?
No. We just spend money any way we can, right?
And I'm just going to be hanging around.
You know, that's what happens when you get converted. You get on fire. You can't stop.
Absolutely.
And you keep doing more and more and more and more. Look what happened to Lori. Look what happened to you, Tony. Tony, for Joan's purposes, the man who never was. He never around the house. Never around the house. I'd like to finish today, though, with the song, There'll Be a Revival in the Land. That's Father Charles and Lori Mangano, who had a wonderful concert at Jones Beach this past Monday.
Yes, it was.
Okay? So stand up and have your revival. You're now converted.
And let's pray for our petitions.
Amen.
In the last days proclaimed by the prophet Joel, God's gonna pour his spirit on every soul. Well, the old shall dream, the young shall see, everyone will be made free. There's gonna be a revival in the land. There's gonna be a revival in the land. There's gonna be a revival in the land. In the land, from the north, south, east and west, there's gonna be a revival in the land.
Whosoever will that calls on the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Whoever shall call on his name shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
Well, the deaf shall hear, they're gonna talk. The lame will pick up their bed and walk.